Blue Apron Take Back Dinner.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth, one is a lie. We try to figure out which one is the lie. And our trusty on-air producer, Mr. Michael Evans, will be taking notes. At the end of the stories, he will be doing a quick recap, and we'll take a vote. Right, Jessica?
You're damn skippy.
All right. Will you please introduce our guests?
I would love to. I'm so excited for this. Like I said, during this plague, they can't tell me no because they're not busy. But we're all at home. But I'm so excited we have these guests. We have, she's a comedian, she's a writer, she's a paid regular at the Comedy Store. You may have recently seen her on David's Lights Out on Comedy Central. This is Rachel Mack.
Welcome to the show, Rachel Mack. Woohoo!
And then we have this gentleman. I'm so excited, too. He is a hoot and a half. He's a weekly guest on Comedy Central's SiriusXM show, You Up with Nikki Glaser. He also opens a lot with Nikki, but he's an amazing comedian. He hosts the podcast Puddles with Andrew Collin, and I also found out he's fellow white trash because he's from Florida.
This is Andrew Collin.
Hell yeah, dude.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Well, I hope everything finds you guys as well as possible. And but we're here to spread a little love, a little levity. So why don't we just start off the podcast? And remember, this is a podcast, but it's also a game. So it's your job to try to lie to us as best as you can. Rachel, your first story, please.
My first story. So this is from college. I went to a conservative Christian college outside of Chicago, and it was a really weird place. We weren't allowed to drink or smoke or dance.
I was reading on your blog that you met your husband. You both were missionaries?
Doing missionary.
You guys just like missionary?
I did do a missionary.
I met my wife reverse cowgirl.
We have done missionary style, yeah.
Oh, I'm so old that when I was growing up, reverse cowgirl meant you were the stoner at the trailer park. Okay. We digress. Please continue.
Rachel, could you really not dance there?
No, we were actually, when I was a senior, they changed it so that you could dance at school sponsored dances where they like kept all the lights on.
Wild.
But until that point, no, we were not allowed to dance.
So much creepier.
Yeah.
When you see everything.
It was terrible. It was perfect. So anyway, at this Christian college, I took a self-defense class, and it was, yeah, even though, like, none of the men or the women were, like, touching you at all. Anyways, it was taught by this 80-year-old woman named Marilyn Scribner.
Okay.
She was insane, and she had, like, very interesting methods for teaching self-defense. Like, we had to chant, I'm a child of the king. I will not be a victim. That was one of our things.
What?
And, wow.
And as our, like, our final in the class, we would have to, like, practice getting attacked. And so she would give our pictures and our schedules to the football team. And the football team.
What?
Yes. And the football team had to, like, track us down on campus and try to get us into their cars.
What the fuck, Rachel? What the fuck?
I totally failed. I'm like, I'm 5'2". I was like, there's no way I'm gonna stay out of that car, you know? He just like,
did you get kidnapped?
I mean, as soon as I got in the car, he was like, yeah, you're gonna get raped. But
that's some crazy role playing, dude. That is fucked up.
It was my first experience role playing. Yeah.
So he just said that casually. Yeah, you're gonna get raped.
I mean, I don't think we took rape that serious. It felt, you know, when you're in like a Christian subculture, things don't feel real. Like,
yeah, they were playing football where you couldn't tackle, so they were all just, they all needed something.
Yeah,
right,
they needed
they
to touch.
Tackle a, but they could tackle a woman and get her in the car just for,
right,
to teach her a lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's in the Bible.
That's one of the most famous things.
Okay. Wow. So did you grow up in a church that was very Christian and that did weird things like snakes and speaking in tongues with the...
We didn't do snakes, but yeah, I've spoken in tongues a time or two.
Yeah, and on like, let me ask you, when you spoke in tongues, were you just making shit up like Yabba Dabba Doo and Scooby Doo too?
It's hard. I wouldn't say that in the moment I thought I was making it up, but looking back, yeah, of course I was. It's hard because people genuinely believe that, like, God is speaking through them. But that's, like, you know, how deep the delusion goes.
Where are you now spiritually?
Right now, I would...
Wait, you're going to see if you could throw in a car?
Where are you on getting thrown
in a car?
It's the football coach's final. It's the final for football. We have to get a girl in the car.
These days, I would say I believe in God, but not in the Christian God.
Uh-huh.
More in like a pantheistic God.
Uh-huh.
So that means many?
But like that God is in everything. Like God is in nature and God is in all of us. And that's why we need to respect each other and the world.
I like that.
Yeah. AKA the golden rule.
Golden rule, baby. I still stand by that one.
All right. Well, that's a good story. And I can totally relate to that story because my family was all speaking in tongues people. They belonged a lot to the Assembly of God churches.
Sure.
And then I had this aunt who was so religious, she was evil. And then she would like, she was so fucking crazy. And she would like stir shit up at a church. So every 2 years she had to move to another church and start over. Yeah. And there was no dancing.
Luckily, in the South or in the Midwest, there's one on like every corner, so she could just keep moving.
Oh, exactly. That was her plan. Exactly. All right. So let's move on to your story, Mr. Man.
Oh, okay. Let's see here. I had an orgy one time.
Humble brag off top.
It was a different kind of school, but no, I was like 25 and the girls were like 21. They were younger. And I was like, I'm not really like a ladies man, you know? And, but I was excited, but I was like too excited. Like my anxiety was so intense. And, my buddy Kelly, he didn't care for some reason. And, when we got into the room, I was making out with the girl and Kelly was banging two of them at the same time on the floor. And I couldn't perform, you know? And,
aww.
Yeah, yeah. So I was getting no blood flow, you know? And, so then I went, so then I was like, I'll take a timeout and I'll get my shit together. And I look on the floor and Kelly just is giving me like a thumbs up, like Bob Dole, you know? He's just, I don't even see him. He's just like disappeared into an abyss of beautiful vagina. And, and the girl that I'm kissing, I go to walk into my room. She jumps on Kelly's hand, so he has all three of them on her, and I'm alone in the bathroom, and I'm, like, really wondering what I'm going to do here, and I thought about it, and I was like, well, maybe I'll just masturbate, and then I'll get myself going, and then I'll go back in ready to go, you know?
Okay.
And
check out Michael Evans? Is that the conversation one would have in the middle of their
Yeah, that checks out to me. I mean, I'm trying to figure out, like, couldn't your hand get hard? I mean, she jumped on his hand. You had that.
I did. Right. I have soft fingers.
no blood flow to your fingers either. Yeah.
All my extremities were dead. Okay. Yeah. I actually crawled into the bathroom. So then I was in there. I was by myself, and I was like, you know what? I'll fluff myself, and then I'll go in. And I finally, like, it finally happened. Yeah, I came in the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
Oh, now you're in double. Now you're in double trouble.
Yeah.
Can't get it back up for a second round?
No.
Yeah, and by the way, your mouth ain't broken. You know what I mean?
I just watched SportsCenter and cried, you know? And Kelly came down like an hour later. He's like, "That was my dream. Where were you?" And I was like, "Oh, I got mine, you know." And yeah. And then I was, yeah. So that's my story.
All right. I see.
I love how you started off with a humble brag, and a lot of times we think if somebody starts off with a humble brag, that means that it's probably true. But then you turned it around with the I couldn't perform and had to go in the bathroom. So I'm a little stumped.
All right. Well, so was my penis.
Yeah.
I like when you were telling that story, and Rachel is like, "What have I got myself into?"
Yeah. Sorry, Rachel. Orgies, you know.
Okay. Well, let's move on to your second story.
My second story is takes place in Los Angeles. So I had just moved here, I hadn't done stand-up comedy yet, and someone told me that I should try stand-up and I should try improv, and I had never done improv before, and I was very worried about not being funny.
So start with improv. That works.
I had barely seen stand-up. I had barely seen improv. Like, you know, I was very unfamiliar with all of it. And
well, I'm not one to talk because I actually started with improv too. So
yeah.
I mean, it seems easier, right? Because you can jump in with people, so you're not as scared. Yeah, it's
more supportive. And I heard about these free classes. I saw them online, and so I went to one that was meeting at a church, actually. And you know, I don't want to stray too far from what I know.
Okay, so they won't let you dance, but you can do improv.
There was an improv team at my college, yes. But this is after college. This is in LA. Oh,
okay.
And I got there like late to the meeting, and everyone was like already talking, and so I just found a seat, and like all the new people were introducing themselves. And this guy was like, "Hey, I'm Mike, and I'm an alcoholic." And everyone was like, "Hi, Mike." And I was like, these people are not funny. And I was like, how is he getting something for that, you know? And then some guy started talking about how he was, like, how he hit rock bottom when he woke up in his own vomit. And then I was like, I don't think this is improv.
You went to an
Were you at an AA meeting?
I was at an AA meeting, and I also didn't feel like I could leave because I was like in the back of like the circle, and it felt so conspicuous. So I just stayed.
See, I'm calling off top that this is a lie because alcoholics are amazingly funny. Their stories are great.
If you've been there, you got a funny thing to say about it.
What was that?
If you've been there, yeah, alcoholics tend to be funny. Also, this seems like it could be a good bit. I don't know what her material is like, but this seems like it can just be a good setup for a joke.
Maybe they are funny, but this one's bad.
I do know that there's, Laura House? Mm-hmm. Laura House, she has a gig that she does, and it's for for a place where they do meetings at, and it's like one of the best gigs. Those are the best gigs ever because they're listening. I did go with a friend to an AA meeting once, you know, and I thought no one was funny. So that's where I feel conflicted. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know. What do you think there, Michael Evans?
I think, well, in comparison to, I mean, imagine the teacher being like, "Look, we've set the football players up to know that you have this final where they're going to try to attack you." It just seems insane. It seems unsafe. And I guess in comparison to the first story, I got to believe this, but I want the first one to be true. You know?
You want the first one to be true where football players...
I mean, just...
kidnap
for
ladies?
Strangeness, yeah, and for strangeness sake. I mean,
yeah, you just, I mean, want Christians to be that bad.
No, I just want to know that there's a world out there where they're that weird. Is there really universities where they can't dance? That's fucking unreal.
Look it up, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, but they can, if they say they're improv dancing, it works.
I'm making this up as I go. Don't worry.
I don't even know what my arms are doing.
I don't know.
I'm grinding, slow dancing, but God told me. All right. Yeah. So, all right, let's move on to your second story. That's a great story, though. I love that story.
All right. So I was having an orgy, and and I fucked them all good. Okay. That's it. That's the whole story. No.
I was like, wow, that is a good way to play the game, though.
So, yeah, what's real? Me fucking good or coming by myself? you decide. Okay, I'll tell this. I was at a bar in New Orleans. I was on ecstasy. I was like 24. And this...
plausible.
What's that?
I just said, this already sounds more plausible.
Than the other one?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did you peak at 24 and 25? No, because it's like, those are great stories. Was that the highlight?
Well, I burned down my fraternity house, so that was pretty cool.
Okay.
No way.
Yeah. I got a lot of absurd stories. So I'm in the bar, and the lead singer, Good Charlotte, walked in. Wow. From Good Charlotte and
one of the Maddens.
Yeah, one of the Madden boys. And this was like in their peak.
Which one?
I don't know. They both had dark hair. Joel. That's it. And so Joel walks in and I'm on ecstasy, so I'm like, I don't really like Good Charlotte, but like I went up to him and I was like, dude, you're my favorite band. And he's like, yeah, he's like, come find me later, I'll get you tickets for Saturday's show. And I was like, dude, that's awesome, you know? And I went and did, like, played with my glow sticks or whatever. And then my buddy was on coke, and he went up to him, and he's like, dude, you sing all the small things, you know? And he's like, that's not my band.
That's what I know, and that's not it.
And then he goes, no, you sing Stacy's Mom Got It Going On. And he's like, no, that's not my band. So then they're about to fight, and they go outside to fight. And I run in the middle on ecstasy. I'm like, nah, this is my I love Good Charlotte. One of the dude hits me, and I throw him, like, I was, like, benching a lot back then. And I throw him, and he hits his head, and he's knocked out. And I turned to Joel Madden, and I was like, so you think I could still get the tickets for Saturday show? And he's like, nah, you killed my friend. So that's another story. And then I came. Okay. No, I didn't come.
All right, so I feel a little confused. So you were doing ecstasy or whatever, right? In New Orleans. You're at a bar.
Called the Boot.
Joel Madden comes in, whatever his name is, right? From Good Charlotte, right? And then I thought you said it was your friend that went up to him.
I went up to him.
Right, and said, I'm your biggest fan, even though you weren't. But then I misunderstood. So are you saying that your friend?
Yeah, my friend then went up to him and sang those songs to him.
Okay, and then who's the one that you threw around? You knocked his head open, the singer?
Oh, like one of his buddies that was
one of his buddies.
He had like a crew too. So like when we went outside, there was like all these like weird guys with like chain wallet kind of guys. Okay. And then Sperry guys on the other side. It was like a frat verse. It was like your modern day, yeah.
Yeah.
They're out there improv dancing.
All the way. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know what I never understood about guys that use chain wallets? Those are the guys that never have money. Like, what are you fucking worried about? You know what I mean?
Yeah, they like Velcro.
Fair point.
Anyway. Well, yeah, that's true. What are your thoughts, Jessica, on this story? This is a good story.
It's a very good story. It's lacking a lot of detail, though, if I'm honest. I don't think that there's a lot there. I mean, he's got some names or whatever, but he could have just picked a band. Like, maybe he did meet that Madden boy or whatever.
I think that seems pretty specific. What I'm still confused about is the guy that got punched in the face. Was that your buddy or his buddy?
Thank you, because I thought that was confusing. That's why I went over the whole story.
All right. Sorry. But when I go outside, they're both about to fight. I'm like, yo, this is one of my favorite bands, Good Charlotte, whatever. And then His buddy, the Madden's buddy, thought I was being like sarcastic, so he hit me. So then he just pushed me on my chest, and then I threw him, and then he flew and hit his head on the car, and he was knocked out.
Wow.
And it got really quiet, and then I turned to Matt, and I was like, yeah, so can I still get tickets for the show on Saturday?
Damn.
And he was like, nah, you killed my friend.
Yeah, and you never know.
So what happened?
No, he did live. He lived.
So what happened after that? You just awkwardly walked away? Like, what happens after that?
It got even weirder. So then fight breaks out, full-on fight. All these Good Charlotte fans are getting their ass kicked by the big fraternity guys. And Madden walks all the way down. He like escapes like a king in Braveheart. You know how they never die. They're always they always leave like the poor people with chain wallets down below. And and so he like walked away pretty far. So a bunch of kids were getting knocked out and he kept flicking us off from far away. So then I ran and two of my buddies ran faster and one beat the shit out of him and the other one beat the shit out of the guy that I knocked out earlier. Or that was like out cold earlier.
Right. So you came out of it unscathed.
Well, emotionally, I'm a little beat up.
Okay. Tell me where you were at emotionally. Like, it's strange to be on like, because I've been in moments where things get intense, but you're on a drug that's supposed to make you feel incredible. You know what I mean? It's weird to fight with those kind of emotions going on.
For sure. For sure. My hand, when I pushed him, it felt amazing.
All right.
Like when he punched me, I was like, do it again, you know? Like, no, but yeah, no, you're right. Like, historically, ecstasy is not a drug that makes you want to fight. It's not like whiskey or cocaine. But, you know, I don't know. It wasn't that strong, I don't feel like. And yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fighter. Just like.
Maybe that particular ecstasy was heavy on the meth side.
Yeah,
that's
true.
The good stuff.
Have you seen my teeth?
Rachel, what do you think of this story? Out of the both stories, right? Which one do you think is sounds hokey to you? Sounds like it's full of shit. Which story?
I mean, I really am so bad at calling bullshit on people. I feel like I would happily believe both of those stories.
Really?
And also with you.
I'd be sad if the Good Charlotte one weren't true because, you know, I love Good Charlotte, so.
What's one of their songs? Because I don't know that I know Good Charlotte.
Girls Don't Like Boys, Girls Like Cars and Money.
Mm-hmm. This is the anthem, throw all your hands up, you know. That one?
Seasons is another one. Not many people know that one, but yeah.
Wow. All right.
Come on, Jess. You're killing us here.
They grew up very poor and faced a lot of rejection, and they knew that they would be
Yeah, but they could dance.
they could improv dance.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't we have Michael recap the stories and let's take a vote. Let's do it.
All right. So Rachel's first story, she was in college at a Christian school where you can't drink, smoke, or dance. And she took a self-defense class with Marilyn Scribner, who had some interesting methods, one of which was having them chant, "Child of the King, I will not be a victim." When did you chant that? Just like, was that like your kia noise?
Oh, that was like when we were practicing. You know, to amp ourselves up.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay, I see. All right.
Could you do it now for us? Can you do it for us now?
I don't know if I could. You really have to scream it to make it real.
Yeah.
And you have to get your voice low. I'm a child of the king. I will not be a victim.
Wow. Makes me want to throw you in a car.
Well, then it didn't work. I'm out of practice.
And what we say is,
well, that madness.
I don't know you.
Yeah, Bobby. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that makes that child of the king shit makes this last part much more believable. The final was to get in touch with the football players and have them try to kidnap each of the students from that class in order to simulate a real kidnap situation.
Yeah. She would actually have football players come in beforehand and they would fake attack her. And then she would and then she would pretend to grab and twist their penis.
Wow. Wait, what?
No.
Wait, what?
No.
I love that this story and other stories, like, I tried improv once.
Wow. I think you're rather crafty. I think you're a good liar, Rachel Mack, right, Jessica? I think it's
really, really good or really, really bad.
I know.
But it can be either way. That's what makes her so good.
Well, Rachel's second story is when she was new to LA, she hadn't done stand-up or improv yet, and she heard about a free improv class online that was at a church, and she shows up, and the first improviser starts with, "Hi, I'm Mike, and I'm an alcoholic," and then talks about hitting rock bottom, and turns out it was an AA meeting.
That's true.
All right, well, now we know.
Someone bought me the book afterwards.
All right. Well, should we take a vote?
Did you just leave after that, by the way, or no?
Well, people wanted to talk to me, especially there were only a few women. And so they kind of wanted to take me under their wing.
Yeah.
So one of them got me the book.
What's the book?
You know, the AA book.
What's it called?
Alcoholics Anonymous? I don't know.
It's actually called The Big Book by Dr. Bill W. I know a ton about AA.
Yeah, Michael knows a lot about this. His parents were both in AA for his whole life.
Yeah.
Isn't it up to Michael to tell us that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like my family's religion growing up. I know a strange amount about it. I think she would have known the name of the book if that were. Well, no, she wasn't there for AA, though. She didn't get into that part.
That's true.
Yeah.
She was there for some improv.
For Del Close.
Well, yes, what do we think?
Wow. All right, let's take a vote. What do you think, Jessica? And everyone, you guys get to vote, too. So.
All right, cool.
What's your vote?
It's very tough for me. I just don't want to believe that anybody would have mock kidnap and rapings.
Yes.
I hope not. I mean, if they did, they don't need to do that anymore. So I'm going to say that that's the lie, the Christian college kidnapping.
Yeah. You know what gets me about that story is just how she just threw out Marilyn Scribner.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I feel like that she's trying to fake us out with that, like maybe Marilyn Scribner is some big writer, or I don't know, like what kind of name is that, Marilyn Scribner? That
so
one?
Specific, yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. So,
maybe she's an author that wrote Child of.
What?
Maybe Marilyn Scribner is an author who wrote Child of the King and I Will Not Be a Victim. Maybe those were two words.
I mean, I'm sure she did write her own books. Like her own self-defense philosophy books.
Okay. All right, so you, Jessica, I'm sorry, which one did you say was a lie?
I'm going to say that the Christian kidnapping is a lie.
Christian kidnapping is a lie. Michael?
I guess I have to say that's a lie. I want to believe that one, but the whole just accidentally going to an AA meeting instead of an improv class seems pretty realistic to me.
Yeah, that does seem kind of realistic, but it does seem like it's a very short story compared to the Christian college rape defense football player team scenario. Yeah.
And there were so many details, like the professor, she could just be pulling that shit out from other classes, though. But the Child of the King, I Will Not Be a Victim, that'd be a strange detail to have made up.
I think that she probably took a defense class, but I don't think they did the role-playing like that. And then the AA thing, Rachel seems like she's just nice enough that she wouldn't leave. Like, I would just be like, oh, I'm in the wrong place, gotta go. But Rachel probably was like, fuck, I can't leave now.
Yeah, Rachel's had that same feeling here, and she hasn't left this, so I...
Exactly. Until I start dancing.
So, what was that quote again that you did, Rachel? What was that?
Oh, I'm a child of the king, I will not be a victim.
I feel like you've been sitting on that quote since you're 12 years old. Like, it's something random that you would memorize, like, one day! And this
like
was
something you do in AA club.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That does sound like some AA shit. Keep coming back, it works. I will not be a victim.
Okay. Now bring it in.
All right. I think the first story is because I grew up in the crazy pants kind of religious cousins and uncles and aunts. I'm going to say that story's true. I'm going to say it's true. But I feel like that the Marilyn Scribner thing is goofy. So I feel like I'm going against what I would normally say, but I am going to say that's true. So the second story is a lie.
AA is a lie.
Yeah, because it sounds too pat. It just sounds too simple. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? I don't want to be the one voting on saying that they were setting up mock kidnaps with football players. Anyway, onward. Sorry.
And how about you? What's your vote?
Andrew. Oh, what's my vote? I agree with you. I think the AA one's a lie. It's just like there weren't that many details. It just, I don't know. It just feels like, hey, what would I make? Like, what's a fun lie? And the other one's just very specific. The only thing that kind of throws me through the loop is the football players throwing them in a car. Because, I don't know. It just makes me, I just feel lie there. But, you know.
Because it feels so creepy. You just don't want it to be real.
You know, but it does kind of sound like a story maybe that happened to her mother. Like, Rachel, you're not that old. Like, you're very young. Like, I can't believe that would happen in a college not too long ago. Like, it feels, you know, I'm not going to change my answer because of that. It feels
really
too, yeah. I think it feels like that could have been something that happened to an aunt or a mom. Because I just don't, that is some old school 50, 60, 70 shit.
Well, Marilyn was pretty old. Probably dead now, honestly.
So wait, Felicia, you're thinking first one is a lie.
Now I'm going to say first one is a lie. Because now that I think about it, I'm always wrong when I switch. God damn it. All right.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sticking with improv, though, as a lie.
Oh, you're probably right. You're probably right. Rachel Mack, which story is the lie?
The kidnapping is a lie.
Who is Marilyn Scribner?
But a lot of it, I mean, I fictionalized it, but a lot of it is true.
So wait, what part? So you got kidnapped?
So I never took the class, but I had friends that did take a class with a Marilyn Scribner, and they didn't get kidnapped by football players, but they would have guys on campus like try to get them into practice.
That's wild.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Well, are we ready for Andrew's stories here?
Let's do it.
Andrew's first story, he was in an orgy when he was 25 with his buddy Kelly and some girls who were about 21 years old. He's excited and he's anxious, and Kelly is crushing it. He's taking care of about two or three of them on the floor, and Andrew can't get hard, so he goes to the bathroom to get himself figured out.
Can you repeat, and Andrew can't get hard?
Andrew's member is not performing, so he heads to the bathroom. to try to do some handwork to get it to work himself, and he ends up getting it to work too well, and he finishes, and then he spends his time crying and watching SportsCenter while Kelly has the time of his life. All right, Andrew's second story. He's 24 years old. He's at a bar in New Orleans on ecstasy, and he sees the lead singer of Good Charlotte, Joel. What do we say his last name was? Joel.
Madden.
Joel Madden, and he says, "Dude, you're my favorite," even though that's not exactly true. So he goes outside to talk to him. Oh, he says, "Cool, I'll get you tickets to the show later here this weekend." Outside, a buddy of Joel's thinks that Andrew is being sarcastic by saying he's in his favorite band and shit. So they end up in a full-on Good Charlotte versus fraternity fight.
Right, but he ended up singing. He sang the wrong songs. He sang songs I actually knew to the guy.
Yeah.
The Good Charlotte guy.
My friend sang them inside the bar. Then they both got kicked outside the bar. Because
I get it.
I left out that the Good Charlotte guy threw a drink in his face.
Wow, there's a lot here. This seems like a real last. Wow, the last one seems detailed enough to be real, too.
And what is this adding more detail on the end of both stories after the recap?
Because I felt like hers weren't that long, and I felt like I was being a dick if I made mine too long.
very sweet.
I get that feeling. I know that.
Okay. I don't know how long this podcast is. I don't want to feel like I'm like, you know.
It's all good. It's all good. What do you think, Jessica? What's your vote?
I'm going to vote that, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to vote that the Good Charlotte is a lie and that the orgy is true. Just because I have listened to Andrew quite a bit on Nikki Glaser's show, and he is he's got a lot of anxiety. He's got a lot of, you know, things with that. And I can see that messing with his head.
Andrew, what fraternity were you in?
Pike, baby.
Oh man, that second story might be true. Then that checks out.
Really?
I don't know. Not Pike.
Tulane in New Orleans. School. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a crazy place to go to college.
What are your thoughts, Rachel?
You know, I'm going to say that the Good Charlotte is a lie only because I don't know if Joel Madden would offer tickets to someone.
Okay, that's good.
I feel like that's a really nice move. And if he did, God bless his heart, but I feel like he wouldn't.
Well, and when
you yourself said that he came from like humble beginnings, his band was
famous, everything changes and you become an asshole.
Yeah, like when he's full blown, when Good Charlotte's at his peak, I don't see like some frat dick wandering up to him on drugs in a bar and him being like, come to the show.
Yeah, unless you also was super drunk.
Mm.
But my heart's just saying that you wouldn't offer.
You know what? I think I'm going to vote with Rachel on that one. I think that's a very good point. Like to, you know, but was this, and this was right at their height, right? Like the height of their fame, right?
Yeah, they're pretty. Yeah, they're peaking.
Peak Charlotte.
Where were they playing at in New Orleans?
Probably the arena. I can't remember that.
Oh.
Because I didn't go to the show. I didn't get the ticket.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with Rachel on that. I'm going to say that that one is the lie. And because Jessica said that you have a lot of anxiety.
Yeah. I believe strongly that I can't get hard.
Yeah, but you'll be amazed. You would be amazed what ecstasy can do for anxiety. So I think you had the balls to go talk to him in that second story.
All right. So what do you think is true or false?
I believe second one.
Is the lie or true?
True.
All right. You ready?
Okay, which one is the lie?
The second one's a lie. It was the lead singer of Sum 41.
Lead singer of what?
It was the lead singer of Sum 41. But the rest of the story is true. It was Derek Wibley.
So really mad because in her gut she was right. Good Charlotte would not give you fucking tickets.
Yeah.
Me sad.
And it's true that if a friend was outside and a friend of the Sum 41 guys heard him saying that they like their songs, they'd be like, I know that guy's being sarcastic. He doesn't like Sum 41.
No, I like Sum 41 more than Guitar. The thing was is that like Derek Wibley at that time was like a real, remember like he went through that punk phase where he's flicking everyone off and he was always fucked up before he married Avril Lavigne. I don't know. He was known as the punk. So when you walk into this like college bar, you're bound to get, you know, either, you know, made out with by a guy to see or beat up.
I'm sorry, but was that your first or only threesome?
That the women know of? Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Okay. That's my only one. It was a fivesome. But yeah.
I'm so sorry, you guys. Jesus
Christ. What happened?
Someone keeps trying to call me. Well, you guys have been such awesome guests. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm so sorry that everyone's confined, and I'm glad that you guys seem healthy and you're saying you're all good. I hope your family is as well as can be expected through this whole process. And we appreciate that you took time.
Are we allowed to ask?
Oh, about my baby?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can tell. I am 7 months pregnant.
Yeah!
All right. Wow. All right.
You're going to be a little football player.
I wish I had the baby now because I'll be stuck inside when it comes, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. My kids are adopted, so as soon as they came, I was out and about.
You know.
But we wish you. Right. We wish you so much happiness with that, and that it goes painless, and all that.
I got
and,
a girl pregnant recently.
You did.
No.
It was so nonchalant. I was like, dear God, I hope that's not true.
Yeah, I came in something recently. Just to show you I can get hard. I can get hard. I swear to God. I swear, not your God, the Patheos. Just check out my podcast, Puddles with Andrew Collin. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And hopefully these theater dates get rescheduled and we perform comedy again one day.
Yeah.
You know? Probably not, though.
And Rachel, how about you?
Yeah, you can. I mean, I'm on Instagram at @YourRachelMack, and one day I hope to do stand up again.
Do you have a special out or your stand up? You can watch your stand up. I'm sure that's on YouTube with or when you were on David Spade.
Mm-hmm. I was writing for a TV show, but I don't know if that will even come out now because of this. But it's called The Movie Show. It'll be on Sci-Fi if it does come out.
Aww. We'll keep our eyes open for it. I bet it will come out. You never know. Anything is possible. All right, you guys have been awesome. Thank you very much. For everyone that's listening on Spotify, please know that when everything gets a little bit better, we do stream live from the Comedy Store's YouTube on Mondays at 4:30 and Fridays at 8:30. You guys have been awesome guests. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Jessica?
Yes. Follow us, and you have been live, too.
When I'm home, I don't want to run errands or have to figure out a meal plan, especially because I have kids. That's why Blue Apron is a great solution. Their chef-designed recipes are easy to follow and give you a balanced, delicious meal. Blue Apron is a quick and easy way to make high-quality meals that everyone can enjoy. Use promo code LIARS to get $30 off your first order. Blue Apron, take back dinner.
I'm not telling that one.
Disney, believe me. You're the real life.